Hello, everybody. We're 1 minute away from the top of the hour. How are you? Welcome to week 12. Let's just wait 1 minute for everybody to get here. It's so sunny and nice here in Connecticut where I am. Oh, I'm just so grateful for that because when it's gray and dark, oh, that's a challenge. All right, here we are, top of the hour. Hello, everyone. So we are talking today about another one of my favorite topics, build your supportive community. Man, there's so much to talk about on this. And I want to tell you, you know, this, like so many of the other things I talk about and teach, I didn't understand when I was struggling in my corporate existence, in my corporate life. I didn't get it. I didn't grasp how important people are, a really powerful support community. People that have your back. Ugh, just something just came to mind that I haven't shared. When I was in my most toxic VP job, I had a young Indian woman as a manager in my department. And we were not, you know, terribly close or familiar. We had meetings regularly. I was the head of the department. But one time she came and she gave me a bracelet. And she said something like, This is to help protect you, and you know, something like that. And I thought, well, isn't that so kind? Thank you. And very soon after was the tumult, and then 9/11, and then me being laid off. And I think now she really had a kind of psychic or intuitive belief or feeling that something bad was going to happen to me. And I wish, I don't even remember her name now. I should try to find her and talk to her about that. But, you know, that was a long time ago. But I bring it up because she had my back. She got a sense that something bad was going to happen. And she was reaching out, you know, oh, that's awesome. I call those angels in your life. People that know you, people that love you and respect you and really would do anything for you. That's what you want to build. And when you don't have anyone like that in your life, it's a sign. It's a sign you're feeling isolated, alienated, confused. People are essential. And there's so much. On my website, one of my quotes in my new website is, you know, there's brilliance and wisdom all around you. You just have to open your eyes and see it and also cultivate it. You know, build a boundary so that you're not letting in the people that are, I call them the bad kind of help, the wrong kind of help, which we all have. We have it in our life because there's a lot of people that give the wrong kind of advice for you. So let's chat about that. But before we do, I want to say two things. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. There's been things going on in my work life and personal life that, you know, some bumps, and you hear mostly about them. I'm very transparent. But I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. I appreciate all of the effort. This is the 12th week, and here you are, many of you, every week on the live call, on the Facebook page, doing the work, sharing the ups, the downs. I really, from my heart, appreciate you. And I just want to give you a big, big virtual hug. Thank you for being who you are and being on this program. All right. What's the second thing I wanted to share? Oh, I wanted to ask you, I'm happy to start the call with any questions you have. And I'm going to hit this hard. Now we're on week 12. We have 16 weeks. So I want to be here for you and give you live coaching right on the spot if you need it, if you want it. So does anyone have, I'm having the feeling someone might have a burning question that they don't even want to wait a half hour for. Anybody have that? Just hit star 2 if you're on the phone. I will go to the Q&A online section and see if anybody's got one. Oh, all right. I just had a feeling. Anybody have a particular, Lacey shared actually by email, and she's going to post it on the Facebook group a little bit about having a hard time kind of articulating what that elevator pitch is and exactly what she wants and also how to leverage what she's looking for to make money. So if any of you are having these very specific questions, let me help you on this call, okay? Don't be shy. You know, even if you're talking way back on something on video 3, and, you know, I was I had the chance to spend time with Laura Neff last weekend, which was such a joy. My gosh, what a spirit and an angel. And we were talking about some of the challenges of a program like this, any program like this that's stepped and weekly. Sometimes people, and you know who you are, you're doing your best, life, but life gets in the way, and you stop watching the videos or stop making the calls or stop doing the homework. But the problem is then you feel so badly about it that you are too embarrassed to kind of reconnect. And if this speaks to you, I want you to know this is, you know, just a loving, all-inclusive forum. Even if you've fallen off at week three, don't be embarrassed. Life happens. You're getting what you need to get out of this. But don't let that embarrassment stop you from being here, okay? Come back. Come back to the fold. And again, what you get is what you're meant to get. But don't let your ego or your embarrassment or your shame keep you from getting more, all right? Oh, we have a raised hand. Hello, Bellevue, Washington.
Hi, Kathy. This is Lisa Cook. Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. How's it going?
Kathy, it's been going actually pretty great, but not in the way that I thought it would. I just had a question for you. I've spent a few days out of town this past week and am constantly getting, what's grabbing my attention are women entrepreneurs. And they're in various types of businesses. They are, you know, everything from fitness type of fitness coaches to leather workers to people who started a tea company. But I guess what I've been admiring is that they built something from their interests, and I am not clear on the what, and I think that's, you know, I'm just emotionally drawn to their success and their happiness and their kind of contributions in that context, but I do not have a what yet for myself. I spoke with somebody who was doing what I thought I wanted to do. I'm in pathology, and I was in San Francisco, and I made an appointment with her, and I've got to tell you that, you know, what I thought I was going to do, and I know I'm capable of doing, my heart just kind of dropped. I just did not get that interested, joyous, you know, excited feel about pursuing this, even though it's a very practical thing. So I don't know the what yet. I'm just kind of feeling, you know, my way through. And I'm not sure I'm going to make our 16-week deadline.
Well, let me just reframe that for you. It's not a deadline. It's a life-changing journey. And we don't come to the end of it knowing everything. So even if you come to the end of it and you're still wondering about the what, that doesn't mean you failed. That doesn't mean this program failed. This is a journey, especially because for some of you, and I think, Lisa, you fit this, you've been very ensconced, immersed in one thing, pathology. So we don't, in 16 weeks, just change overnight. We don't. It's a process. But let me talk to you about a few things, can I, to help you cheese this out?
Sure.
The one thing, you know, I work with entrepreneurs. I work with the people you're talking about. And I wonder, the tea company, are you talking about Zina Muzika, her tea company?
A friend, I think it's called Philosophy, a friend sent me a link.
Oh,
no. An Argentinian woman, who would stand in line at the tea shop and order a blend of teas from the owner, and people behind her would say, oh, no, and I'll have that as well, and they hired her because she has such a, and so she started her own company. It's that one. I don't know the full story yet. She certainly, you know, followed her passion and is in 20 countries now, apparently.
Cool. All right. So let me spend 5 minutes on this, and let's see if we can tease it apart. The very first thing is I want to be real here with you. I am in the world of all these women starting new things, and I want to tell you this. On the outside, where you are, it all looks incredible, glamorous, wonderful. They're living their passion. On the inside, it is not always that. It's not often that. They're struggling. They're not making a living. So what I want to tell you is be careful how mm-hmm. things look on the outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
not that. I mean, every one of these people has worked hard, come to Jesus moment, you know, lost their money. Nobody succeeds on a linear path, right?
Yes.
So what we do, though, is when we're unhappy and stuck, we look at everyone else, and it's very glamorous. We glamorize it, and I just want you to be careful about that, right?
Okay.
The second thing I want to share with you is I think these people that you are resonating with have a deep passion and have leveraged and monetized it. So here's this woman who's asking, you know, who's suggesting tea blends, because she obviously knows a lot about tea and maybe
yes.
had it in her gypsy history. Who the hell knows? But that's a passion for her. And the universe met her halfway and gave her an opportunity to leverage it and then step by step move forward. Zina Muzika, I've written about her as well. She had gypsy, you know, blood, you know, heritage. And she was at a point where she was a single mom, broke, and her son was sick, very sick, and she didn't have money to pay for treatment. And she prayed. And what came to her was tea. And from that idea, she developed Zina's gypsy teas, which are everywhere. But
yes.
what I want to remind you is that I think these people that you're resonating with have a deep, abiding passion that will not be denied. And they are going to pursue it any darn way they can. Am I making sense?
Yes, I agree with you. What intrigues me too is when you said that it's not a linear path, and that caged feeling when you go to an environment where you have not much control is really repelling me right now.
Yeah, and I want to say this third thing, and let's tease this. If you read the book The Energy of Money, which I really recommend, Lisa, that you read, Dr. Maria Nemeth talks about money and bringing into being what you want. And she talks about this very specific thing that when you are brainstorming about your passions or, ooh, I'll do this, it's light, airy, incredible energy. When you then start bringing it into the three-dimensional world, it is not light, airy energy. It's dense. Like from the moment I had the idea that I was going to launch a certification program for coaches to yesterday when I gave the first class of the 17 weeks, I got to tell you, there wasn't light, airy going on. It's hard. It's hard. It's dense. So, and, you know, I listened to Abraham Hicks, which gets me worked up a little bit, and I've suggested Abraham on my list of resources. Abraham is a spiritual entity that a woman, Esther Hicks, channels. And she was saying, he was saying, it was saying, that if you don't feel good while you're, you know, pursuing stuff, you're doing it wrong. And I don't agree with them. Sorry, Abraham, I don't agree. Often when we stretch beyond who we are today, it does not feel good. It feels scary. It feels dark, you know, but you keep going. Like the first time I was on television, that day I didn't feel good. I was scared. I was sick to my stomach. But I did it, and then it felt good. So is it possible that when you met with that person about the idea you had, it was dense energy that you were feeling, not that you shouldn't pursue it, but a disappointing feeling that this is not all light and airy and fantastical like the tea woman? Is it possible?
Yes, yes, because there are elements of it that, you know, there is stress. And I asked her specifically, you know, I want your worst case scenario, what's happened, you know, in this scenario, and give me an idea about it. And so, yeah, I was going in with it, trying to get that, how, you know, how tough does it get? And she thankfully, she was very honest with me, I think, you know, and brought me down to earth. Yes, it did.
Yep.
But it also reinforced that there were elements about this that maybe I don't want to carry on in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to tease them out. Yeah.
And I think that is the journey, Lisa, that you're exactly on the right path.
Okay.
You know, I'll be really transparent. You know, I want to scale transformation. On a call, I want 1,000 people. That is what I want. Well, getting there is hard. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And parts of the pieces of getting there You know, I somehow have 95,000 followers on LinkedIn, and it's going up 1,000 a day. I don't know what happened. Woohoo! But there are parts of the dream that feel great and light. Like, for instance, that. I think I'm on their mobile app, and that's why I'm getting it. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
look at that, and I go, well, my gosh, that dropped in my lap. But it didn't drop in my lap. I've been on LinkedIn for years, working hard, putting out content, being in discussions, being one of their not official influencers, but, you know, being on discussion boards. So it looks like it magically dropped in my lap, but it did not. But there are parts of all of this that aren't easy that I don't like. So this is the exact journey to start going forward, having discussions, and when you come back from a discussion and it doesn't go the way you want, don't look at it the way you're looking at it. Look at it as, wow, okay, there are three things about this that really energize me and excite me, but there's two things I don't. How do I reshape this idea so that I don't have those two things?
Okay.
But then I need you to be realistic.
Yeah.
Even the fitness coach, the leather worker, the tea entrepreneur, there's hard times.
Yes.
Does this help?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Kathy, yes.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's a fantastic question. Thank you, Lisa. And I'm going to mute you now. But what I want everyone to know is this is where the rubber meets the road. We are now week 12, hopefully, doing the work to get clearer. And I believe it's a lifelong journey. I don't believe you're going to wake up one day and have everything in your life figured out. It just doesn't work that way. Because you'll figure out something, and you'll try it on, and you'll move for it towards it, but then you'll begin to learn, and you'll grow. And when you grow, and when I look at myself 5 years ago, I'm not even remotely the person I am today, professionally and otherwise. And the things that fit and were magical then don't fit any longer. Like today, tonight, Gretchen Rubin, the amazing Gretchen Rubin, who's written about happiness, you know, I don't know, 5 bestseller, New York Times bestseller. She's in at my local library, and I'm going to meet her and go to her talk and then interview her tomorrow on the phone. I mean, 5 years ago, that wouldn't have even been a dream to interview these people that I'm interviewing. So the point is, you're going to stretch and morph, and things aren't going to fit any longer. And that doesn't mean you failed. It means you're living and you're adjusting. All right? That's a fantastic question. I hope it's helpful. Keep us posted, Lisa. And, you know, in the slides I talk about, but I'm going to mention it right now, there comes a time when we can't figure this stuff out by ourselves, or you come to a juncture where there is not clarity, and despite all the work you're doing in this program, you don't have clarity. And I'll point out when I get to the slide, but I am here for you. Laura's here for you, and I don't want you to forget you can work with me one-on-one, and I offer everyone a 20% discount who's in this program, and I'll show you those programs. But there's a private session. There's a four-part Jumpstart Your Career Success program, and a 10-session career breakthrough, and you get 20% off of that. I would love to work with you privately. My calendar's a little more open in February. So I would love to hear from you. If you feel like, okay, now is the time I really need some intervention, some outside perspective, I would love to help you. All right, anybody else have a question? These are all fantastic. Nobody has a question that's completely isolated that won't help other people. So star 2, and let me look at if anyone submitted something online. Oh, Bethany, hi. All right. I love taking questions. Bethany says, I am struggling where to start to build my network. I have been a caregiver for so long that there's been no time to connect with anyone except hospice. When I seek volunteer positions, most respond, we don't have time to develop volunteer tasks and track your work. Any suggestions on how to find people who really want to help a woman get started? I have something to say about that right now. You say, I've done some internet search, but when I connect, no one responds or passes my request to a dead end. I'm contemplating Toastmasters and have searched a few meetup groups, but I'm open to suggestions. Okay, Bethany, I want you to reframe something you just said. Any suggestions on how to find people who want to help a woman get started. That has to change. And let me be really clear and as loving as I can to you, this is not a judgment. Nobody wants to help a woman get started. That's the wrong way to look at it. What you need to do is find it in yourself what you have to offer someone else. That is the only way it works. What do I have to offer? So you don't want to seek volunteer positions. You don't want to say, can you please hire me as a volunteer? That's all about you. What you want to do is identify 5 things that you're great at. And if that was from 10 years ago, okay. I'm great at bookkeeping. I'm great at project management. I'm great at organizing. And I want to tell you, once you know what you're great at and you can talk about it and you are ready to do it for free, pro bono, whatever, for a period of time, you're going to find 50 people who want it. But you have to not approach them with your hand out. And I talk about this specifically in this video. And I just want to tell you, let me give you a really clear example. Every week I hear from probably 20 to 50 people, it varies, who want free help. When they reach out, boy, is it a turnoff in a certain way. I'll hear from somebody, I heard from somebody yesterday, hi, Kathy, I am looking for, not how are you, I admire your work, they just launch right into what they need. I am, what was her issue? It really kind of annoyed me. I want to write for Forbes, and I've submitted posts, and they haven't responded. Can you tell me how I can do it or connect me with somebody? It's completely the wrong way to go about it. I don't know this person. I have no idea how she writes. She's never once commented on my Forbes blogs. It's so the wrong way. Because it's coming at me with a request that isn't substantiated, validated, and she hasn't made a connection with me. On the very opposite side of the spectrum, there are people on LinkedIn who have retweeted 50 of my posts and have said something. This is from Kathy, another brilliant whatever. This is a must read. If you need work-life balance, watch this video. And they don't ask me for anything. They simply give. And then by the time they reach out, and of course we want to connect, you know, I love them because they're so supportive. And of course I want to help them. But even the way they go about asking for help, it's so respectful, it's so gentle. But, you know, by the end, these people become my friends, and I can't wait to help them. So I'm speaking forcefully, not to, I hope you don't take this in a negative way, but what you have to do is, first of all, see how worthwhile you are, how you have things that will help other people, and you start talking about them. And then, to answer your question, you got to get yourself in front of people. Go to Toastmasters. Figure out the field you want to be in. Let's say it's finance or banking or graphic design. Start going to the association meetings where you're meeting people. Throw yourself in to the world where these people who you want to help are. And I promise you, when you do these things, doors are going to open. Forget internet. You're not going to hear from anybody. You're going to have to throw yourself into your community. How about volunteering in your community? My gosh, in my community, there's 1,000 ways to volunteer. You know, I look at some of the people in my Wilton Singers group, my singing group, and the 2 couples that have founded it 35 years ago are, you know, 75 to 80. And these people are busier than most 40-year-olds that I've ever met. One of the fellows is the music director at the church, the music director at the you know, Wilton Children's Play Shop. He's a piano player. He's this, he's that, he's in PR. The man is busier and more alive than most 40-year-olds I know. So does that help you? Let me know. Write me back. I hope that's helpful. You have so much inside of you, Bethany, to give. It's time to start giving it. Oh, "Oh, you're sweet." Bethany writes, "No offense taken. This is exactly what I need. I like the ideas given in the homework too. Tap into your kindness. This resonates." Yay, Bethany. Thank you. Sometimes I kind of go into a space where I'm talking and I don't even know what I'm saying, and I'm in a zone. And sometimes I worry when I come out of the zone that, ooh, maybe that was a little harsh. I never mean harshness. I want to give you a hug and help you see what you have to offer the world and how the world needs it desperately. Awesome questions, my friends. Anybody else? And then I will go to the slides, but start to or send me a question online. All right, let's go to the slides. Takes a minute for me to load here. All right, so what we're talking about this week's takeaway, you can't build an amazing career alone or in a vacuum. You need empowered and empowering helpers, supporters, and angels. And you know I mean that, angels on two dimensions. I believe there are entities and angelic beings waiting to help on all levels. You just have to ask, and you have to know how to ask. So I talk in the video, please watch it, it's really important, all the ways you can tell wrong kind of help. You know, they want to keep you small and stuck, or they think they know better. Ugh, I have so many people even offering me, not even, suggesting advice about how to run my business, how to do this, how to do that, and it doesn't come from the right place. It really doesn't. It comes from their ego needing to feel like they're telling me what to do. Now, many people do give me advice, but I seek it out, and I'm very careful who I seek it out from. I don't simply canvass the world. I choose the right kind of help, right? But there are people who need to stroke their own egos by giving advice. So check out the video about what the wrong kind of advice is. The right kind of advice and help and support takes into account how you are amazing. If the advice giver you have doesn't know that, forget it. They're not helpful. But you are amazing, and you are special, and you have talents that other people don't have. So you want this advice not to be one size fits all, but it takes into account your uniqueness. And it feels in alignment with you. I mean, you know, I was laughing with my podcast partner, Mo Fall. She loves Abraham Hicks. And, you know, again, I have books of Abraham Hicks, and there have been times I've loved it, and wow, sometimes a piece of the advice is exactly what I want to hear, what I need to hear, but the way it's done, sometimes I feel shames the people listening. But I told Mo that I felt like, who am I not to believe Abraham? And we laughed for 5 minutes, because sometimes you'll get advice and it doesn't feel right, but you think, wow, I should really listen to this person. They know, they're a millionaire, they're a best-selling author, they launched a fitness coaching practice, and who am I? Who you are is the person who knows yourself best. Not every piece of advice works for everyone. And not every kind of support is going to be the right thing. So it's got to feel right to you. It's got to feel right. So let's talk about building a tribe, and it is a tribe. It's people who love you, who will do anything for you, who would take a bullet for you, who would go to bat for you, who will give you an endorsement. It's a tribe. But again, as I say in this video, and Bethany, you know, please do go back and watch it, be focused on you being of service. That's the only way you're going to get help. If you come reaching out with your hand out, it will not work. So you want to strengthen your sense of humility, but also your sense of worthiness. You're humble in that there's something for you to learn here, but that doesn't mean you're worthless. You're incredibly valuable. You just have to know how, right? And here's other ways. Be the student. Read people that inspire you and comment on them. Oh, my gosh, it's all there for you on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook. Follow them. Let's say, Lisa, you love the tea woman. Follow her on Facebook. Find her page. Say, your story inspires me. Do it. You know, come out. And follow these people and add to the conversation. Help them. There's no one too big or illustrious who isn't going to appreciate. I mean, yes, Justin Bieber isn't going to respond to your Twitter, maybe. I mean, I've had very huge people respond to my tweets. You know, Jack Welch from GE and huge people. You never know. So don't feel you're too lowly or who am I. Who you are is someone very valuable in the world, right? and be selective who you let into your inner circle, but go find them. Start finding the people that are really going to enliven you. This slide talks about what can you do, who can you reach out to today to be of service to. You know, find 10 people and say, you know, I followed your nonprofit in my town. It's so enlivening and inspiring to me. I am recently coming out of caregiving my father, and I was, you know, in my past, I was a wonderful whatever, bookkeeper, trainer, PR person, and I would just love to be of help. You know, is there any way I can be of help to you? I mean, who's going to say no to that? I mean, they might say, I'm sorry, I don't, you know, Bethany, you mentioned, they say, we don't have a way to track that kind of, or come up with tasks. It's kind of an onus on you to do that. You know, here's what I'm thinking I could do for you. So, yes, you might hear a lot of no's, a lot of no's, a lot of no's, a lot of no's. That doesn't mean you're not doing the right thing. All you need is one person to say, you know, very cool, come in, we'll talk about it. That's all you need. All right, mentors and sponsors, you got to have these. You got to have them. They change everything. Mentors are people who are, say, 10 steps ahead of you, who you really admire, who are doing things, excuse me, the way you want to do things and making an impact that really lights you up. And what you want to do is, in the beginning, follow them, as I'm saying, and comment and, you know, interact with them in a way you can be of service, and then you demonstrate your potential, right? Nobody will be a mentor to you if you just reach out as a stranger. It just doesn't happen. You know, I wrote a post on that and LinkedIn. A lot of people got snarky about it. I don't agree with you. You can reach out to a stranger. That's just not how it works. We're all, think about your life. Aren't you inundated with people that want things or Facebook friends? Or we're inundated. So what you have to do is demonstrate your potential and your value first. Let's talk about angels for a minute. So there's two things I want to share about this. When you're stuck or when you need help, there are people that you know who are in your community who are waiting to help. You just haven't thought of it. So, for instance, for anyone who has a business idea, score.org, there's a SCORE business center office in so many cities around the country. And it's free mentoring for entrepreneurs. You know, they'll give you help with your business plan, your marketing plan. You know, I went years ago, when I was just launching this, I went to the SCORE office in Norwalk, Connecticut. And you know who was there? The former president of Campbell Soup. My gosh. And he was a doll. And I got some wonderful feedback and wonderful help, but mostly I got a lot of confidence because he said, well, you got it all going on here. I don't really see one thing to tweak, but let's talk about this. There's so much help out there. Pardon me. And there's so many women's groups in your community. If you're thinking about an entrepreneurial idea, there's mastermind groups. Oh, and I do want to tell you about our mastermind group here that is available to you once this program is over. It's run by Liz Scully, and she is truly a mastermind guru. And you can find all about the mastermind program just for you all when you click on amazingcareerproject.com/support, and you'll find Mastermind Liz Scully. There is so much help for you. You just have to open your eyes to it and open your heart to it and ask around. You know, I think I mentioned this on Facebook. My town has a Wilton 411 where people ask questions. Hey, do you know of a good plumber? Hey, I'm wanting to donate to disadvantaged population, all my old clothes. It is so helpful. I bet you have something on Facebook that you could look to where you can post a question. Hey, I'm you know, looking to start a business, or I'm exploring an entrepreneurial idea. Are there any meetups in my town? All right. So one question I have to ask you all, are you uncomfortable in any way asking for help? Do you feel embarrassed? Do you feel ashamed? Do you feel unworthy? I see that that is a block that holds so many people back from asking. Who am I to ask for this? Who am I to get it? So I would love you to think about, are you blocking yourself? And finally, we've mentioned this before, but you know, I do write to or speak to what I consider a spiritual entity, and I hear what they have to say. And every day I talk to them. Every day I ask for help. And if you want to know more about, you know, I don't call them angels. It's just kind of a spiritual consciousness. But if you're interested in angel work, Trudy Griswold is a friend of mine. Angels Speak, with an E at the end, .com is her website. She teaches, you know, she's a spiritual guide. She's wonderful. And her work, I took her class on how to write to your angels. It really opened up an amazing channel for me. You know, I think that it's helped me with my energy healing. I get a sense of things that is more finely honed now. A sense about people, a sense about things, a feeling, an intuition, and I believe it's certainly supported by the work I do, you know, in connecting with the spiritual realm. So post on Facebook if you want more information about that. Now, online, I would love to see you all more active on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. You don't have to do them all, but they're there for you, and millions upon millions of people are there. Why wouldn't you be active? And what I know many of you are saying is, I don't have time for this. I don't like it. I'm too private, and I don't have time. Well, I would say to you, make the time, but do it in a very thoughtful, conscious way. Don't post. I'm not talking about private profile page Facebook posts where you're talking about what you had for lunch. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joining groups on Facebook. Well, even your alumni groups, you know, on LinkedIn, you can join groups and post questions, post discussions. It's there for you to connect, right? So why wouldn't you use it? And you can gain exposure for thoughts you have. You can post a, well, they used to have post a question. I don't think you can do that any longer, but you can post a discussion in a group. And my goodness, I mean, some of my discussions have had hundreds of comments. So, and you can download my LinkedIn primer. That's on my website under resources. Actually, it's under books and products, I think. And I think I've linked to it in the resources page. Really, it's time to get involved in something that's bigger than who you are. And get out there, right? Start to show what you're made of. Here's some things about LinkedIn. Build your profile absolutely fully. Put the jobs and put, you know, three or four bullet points of the highest level of tasks that you did. Outcomes that you helped to create. What you did, the needles you moved, the great stuff that happened there that wouldn't have happened without you. You need to share that, right? If you don't have a photo, shame on you. Get the photo right up there today. Use every aspect of it. And a lot of people will say, well, I'm kind of moving out of my field. What do I do? You can still present yourself very powerfully. And if you have an interest, let's say it's you're a pathologist, but you have an interest in women's entrepreneurial growth, join a women's entrepreneurial growth, join those groups. And, you know, say I'm a pathologist, blah, 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 with a keen interest in entrepreneurial growth, whatever. Help people find you. Help people say, wow, now wait a minute. A pathologist who is interested in entrepreneurial growth, right? Get out there and share the uniqueness of who you are. All right, I talk here about other ways to network. Ask colleagues to lunch. Join women's organizations. Attend conferences. Take a class. You know, invest in yourself, right? Even find people in this thread in Facebook, in this group, or near you, and get together. You know, create your own mastermind if you don't have the funds to join Liz's. Pay a visit to former instructors, professors, mentors. It's time. It's time. All right? And finally, talking about thought leadership. If you are ready to start talking about what you know, like I mentioned, my radiologist client, who I think has an incredible breakthrough idea that she's going to start researching and start writing about. It's so much closer to you than you think to start a blog. It's a WordPress site, and you start, right? And I don't mean everyone's a writer, and I don't mean everything that comes out of our fingertips should be published. I mean, we need to be discerning in what we put out in the world. But if you have something to teach, go out and teach it. You know, the libraries, we have, you know, four libraries around us. I could give a free talk anytime I wanted here at this library, on these libraries. Our libraries don't allow you to charge, you know, unless they're sponsoring the event, like Gretchen Rubin. But I'm pretty sure most libraries are really interested in something that's going to help their constituents, their members. You know, give a training class at work. Give away, create something to give away. If you're creative, do photo cards, whatever it is. Start to share what you are amazing at. So, you know, every once in a while I ask you for a commitment. Here it is. Today I will honor my desire to create more happiness, success, and reward in my life and work, even through all the doubts, fears, and insecurities. I know my best work leads to my best life. So there are insecurities and doubts that are holding you back from this. If you start connecting to, yeah, darn it, I have a lot to offer, and I'm ready to do it, and I'm ready to make money doing it, or you might be in this program realizing, you know what, where I am right now professionally is okay. What I want to do is build more success and happiness in it, and also bring forward my creative talents outside of it. That is a wonderful way. Like, there's a lot of people that reach out to me who want to be writers. Well, they're not ready. You know, we will do an evaluation of where they're at. They're not ready to make money writing. It's not there yet. Well, how thankful are they that they have a full-time job, but they start their blog. They start to write articles. So they're being funded in their full-time work to do the thing that lights them up outside. That's a beautiful mix, too. Okay? All right, I'm ready for your questions, but I do want to talk to you for a minute about one-on-one help. Sometimes we need it. It can help identify your blocks much more quickly. It can give you new, fresh strategies for moving through them. It helps you be more accountable, and it helps you break through in kind of a more personal, immediate, and compelling way. So don't forget, Laura's there for you. And again, this is a slide that talks about my programs, a one-hour consultation, a four-hour Jumpstart Your Career Success, and a 10-session Career Breakthrough Program. You know, as you know, I'm not cheap because my private time is kind of at a very high premium, but you all get a 20% discount. And you can just click on those pages and register. And when you get to the registration page, there's a place to insert the discount code. And it's ACP20-2015. I know we're in 2016 now, but that refers to the ACP program that you're in. I would love to help you. I know you well now, many of you. And, you know, I have a way of sitting with you and feeling where you're blocked. And that helps us move forward quickly. All right, time for the questions. Who's got some? And if you don't have some, I'm going to really scratch my head because this is the time now. This is the time where you need to, you know, the rubber meets the road. You need to get out there and start creating what you long for. So let me hear from you. Star 2 raises your hand. Let me look at your questions that you're submitting. Nothing? No. I won't allow it. Now is your chance. Share it online if you can't speak on the phone. Star 2. Who's got a question? I don't care if you've had a question every single week. Awesome. You're not hogging the time. I want to hear from you in these 15 minutes, okay? Awesome. Now, who do we have? Hi, who's there?
This is Kim.
Hey, Kim.
How are you?
What's going on?
Lots of fun things.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah, things are good. I actually, I don't have a question. This may lead to a question, but
okay.
I want to encourage everyone. You've said a lot about making sure to check on your finances to, you know, don't leap out without having a secure financial footing.
Yep.
I just would really encourage everyone. I just had my yearly meeting with my financial planner guy. I don't have a huge amount, but just to check on things. And I was asking him as I'm looking to move to a different career, and he just had great sound advice that just really helped me in the things I'm considering.
Can you share one or two pieces if it's not too personal?
It's fine. One of the things I'm wrestling with is I have a company that I, before I took my current job, I had my own company and did consulting. And a lot of the work I had through this company, and it's my passion, it's 911 protocol, so it's teaching emergency dispatchers how to be really effective. And there's a lot of things that in my skill set, and I love the work. And then when I took my current job, it's still in the same field, but because of the company it's in, the things that I love, I don't get to do. I get to manage a lot of disgruntled union employees, and that is my bliss. So it's been helpful having this job to realize what I don't like doing. So I've been toying with the idea, should I just go back and do consulting for them? There may be a full-time opportunity in the future, but there's not now. And should I just do that? Or should I, my other plan is to find a job in a different field in the town I live in so I don't have a commute.
Mm.
And so it was great because he laid it all out, you know, when you're looking for pension and benefits. And because I'm in Canada, the difference, looking long-term difference between the Canadian and U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
And so I just got a really good understanding of right now to do the consulting doesn't make sense because I – financially, it wouldn't be I would be taking quite a step back financially to do that. I'd be free of the negative stuff I'm dealing with now.
Yeah.
But then I'd take on financial stress.
I love
so
it.
I know that,
so helpful. But let me ask
very.
You something. Can't you do both? Why can't you do the consulting on the side?
What holds me back is I commute a very, very long way to work, and so I don't actually have the time to do what I would like to do.
I think there's something we can work on there.
I think if I had a different job where I live and I had an extra 3 hours a day, I could do more of that.
Can I ask you this question? Can I help you with this? You've thought about all this, but let's all hear it. Is your job the kind that you could never work from home one day?
In physical ability?
Yeah.
Totally for most of it. They will not allow it.
You've asked?
Yes. More than once.
And has anyone in the company ever done it?
They tell stories of people in different parts of the company who did it and weren't working, even though all the studies about telecommuting show that people work way more. And so they have a knee-jerk reaction, and nobody is allowed to.
Okay.
It's another reason that it's not a healthy place to work.
If you said that you were going to leave, would they be upset?
Yes.
So I want to throw this out to you. Take it for what it is. I would be a millionaire for every time someone I have worked with has said it is not possible, and we find a way to make it possible. And it's not necessarily simple or easy, but if they would be upset that you would leave, and I'm not telling you to race off and do this without us talking about this more, but I mean, I've worked with people who have gone in and made a case and said, here's the story. There are things that aren't happening in my career trajectory that need to happen. And one of them is, this commute kills me. And if you want me to stay, we have to do something different.
Yes. Well, one of the ways, I don't know that working from home would solve that, but having a condensed work week. Then I would have a day not working that I would be able to do other things.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I do that already.
You do that already.
I'm going to. Like, that is a conversation I'm going to have with my boss.
All right. So what I'm saying to you is, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You've been a consultant, and you love it, and you make money doing it. Don't let what you have today constrain you from that.
Okay.
If you up and quit, are there any other opportunities for the work that you're doing at other organizations?
The specific work I'm doing, not in the world, yes. In it where I live, no. It's a very specialized field, but I'm also a world expert in a very specific, specialized field, right? I'm kind of one of the people who knows it. It involves me getting on planes, and I am not opposed to that. I just don't want 100% of my job to be travel.
So one thing I would ask you, financial consultants are going to give you, how do I want to put this?
Cautious?
Financial consultants all told me, would have told me, you're freaking crazy to do what you're about to do. I wouldn't have done what I have done in life if I listened to my financial consultants. So what I would prefer to see you do, I mean, Kim, generally how much do you need to make?
$100,000.
How much?
$100,000.
And the benefit and pension, is that going to be, you know, for the rest of your life after you retire here?
Yes. Well, it depends how solvent I get, right?
One thing I would have you do is add that up and see and think about, if I became a world-renowned consultant in this, how much money could I make?
Right. Well, yeah.
So just think about it. And I'm kind of blowing your point here, which is go to your financial planner. They always give the uber cautious approach. And that often flies in the face of feeling incredibly alive doing the work you're doing. I mean, no one would have told me to leave corporate life because I made $150,000 plus $50,000 bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be in the hospital or have cancer or something if I didn't leave.
Yes. And you know what? In this position, that's exactly where I
am. So will you think about that? If you are a world-renowned, world expert at this, my God, you can make a lot of money. Okay?
I will, because it's my favorite thing, but I can't see how to.
Yeah, I feel like there's blocks there. I feel
it's a belief.
Yeah. You know what it's like? We're about to put our house on the market in a few months, and we had a stager come in, and she said, I want you to know, everyone's looking for a reason not to buy your house. And I go, what do you mean? She said, because people are scared. They're scared to death. It's a huge investment. So if you have something on the wall that's the wrong color, if you have a book that is against their values, they will not buy your house. And I think that's true about changing our careers. Like, you know, this guy told you, yeah, your pension and benefits, forget consulting. Well, that felt okay to you because you're scared.
Yes.
I just want you to be scared right now. I want you to plant the seeds for your future self and start speaking up for what you need. Okay, my dear?
Mm-hmm.
And if you need one-on-one help, you know where I am.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. Wow. this is good stuff. I think you're bringing it now, folks. You're bringing the grist that we have to work with about. And, you know, what Kim shares is so important, because even when you look at my life, I'm really immersed in this, right? Every day I'm a student of change and transformation and beliefs and fears and communication and systemic thinking. That doesn't mean I don't get tripped up myself and think a direction's the right thing and pursue it and then it's not, and then I have to figure out why and what was the misstep. This is not straightforward stuff. This is continual self-awareness, continual growth, continually seeing where you don't want to buy the house, meaning, yeah, I'm scared. I'm going to buy into that advice because it makes me feel safe. But I think at the end of our life, is safe what we wanted? I mean, I've read a lot about people who are dying and what they think about. I sat with my father dying of cancer and sat with his dead body for 4 hours, sat with him during his last days, and safe isn't what you're looking for. You want to have lived it, you know? So there it is. Oof. Important stuff, important stuff. Who's got a question online? Who's going to share? All right. Here's Lee. Hi, Lee. Thanks for your question. Lee says this, Kathy, thank you for your welcome feedback. As I had lapsed for a number of weeks, this past week I had an interview for another job in the same field. I'm currently an attorney, and I know that ultimately I'd like to do something outside the legal field. I'm pretty unhappy at my current job, partly because I'm completely bored with the work and partly because I don't enjoy the people. Yeah, I have so been there, Lee. The potential opportunity is an in-house attorney position, but with a company that ostensibly has an excellent corporate culture, much faster paced. That is, I don't think I'll be bored. So, in that manner, it is a better fit. Early on, you said we should always be interviewing, so I did it. I did interview, and it went well. Good for you. I'm torn how much to put my heart into the process with a new company, and also worried that I might sabotage my potential opportunity unconsciously if I move forward on the selection process. Wow. Oh, there's so much here, Lee. Thank you. And first of all, thank you. Welcome back. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled, you know, you're here. So let me tease this apart. Let me just share with you what I hear. I know that I want something outside the legal field. I'm unhappy, I'm bored, and I don't like the people. Okay, so it's time for you to leave, right? The potential opportunity is an in-house, but with a company with a better culture and faster paced. So it's a better fit. So I have to ask you, why are you torn here? I'm torn about how much to put my heart into the process. Can you tell me why you're torn? I don't get it. It's pretty clear you want to leave this company. You are also thinking maybe you want to leave the legal field. So first of all, Lee, we got to figure that out. We got to get really clear about that. And this entire 16-week process is to help you to do that. You've got to start to know these things now and make a decision. Now, if you're not at the point where you can leave the legal field or you're still not 100% sure, it seems to me you got to get out of this boring, awful position and take a new one. And, you know, Jonathan Fields, who's a wonderful guy, runs a thing called the Good Life Project, and he helps entrepreneurs. He talks about, think about this next step not as the be-all and end-all that you're signing your life away in blood, but that it's a project. So for you, it could be, my project is right now I'm going to get a better legal job. And that will keep me afloat while I spend a year transitioning out of it and figuring out exactly what that looks like and how it's going to work, right? So think of it as a project. But my question to you is, why wouldn't you throw yourself into that process? And why would you potentially sabotage the opportunity? Why? Tell me why you think. Oh, very cool. I didn't know that. Lee says she went to the Good Life Project with the amazing Laura Neff. That's cool. All right, so she's saying, I'm torn because not only I'd like to leave the legal field, but in the but in the short term, do I leave one legal job for another? So, you know, I think Laura, since you know Laura, she would be a wonderful person to help you sort this through, or I would be in a one-hour session. You got to figure this out. And let me give you some clues. When I was in marketing for 18 years, and I was a writer, I did market research, I did copywriting, I did book club development, never did I love it. Never. I liked market research, did that for 7 years, but I wasn't an expert in it and didn't know statistics, and I always felt like I didn't have the chops. Never did I feel like it was a fit. Is that you? Is it you? If it is you, if you never felt aligned with it, if it never lit you up, if it never touched your heart, if you never liked the people, if you always felt like an imposter, if you never felt like you really cared, then it's not for you. But you also have to look at the positions you've had. Sometimes when you're in toxic places, you can't even think straight. So you don't even know if you like the work because it's so toxic, the people are so toxic. But I want to tell you, I think you know. If it's never been right for you, even though you've excelled on the outside, then it's time to do something about it. But now the question is, how long is that going to take you? And what are your ideas for what you would want to do? It's all in your career path assessment. Go back and look. And, you know, again, work with Laura or work with me. We're going to help you tease out what else makes sense. Now, here's the thing. People aren't career counselors. They don't know what makes sense. But those of us outside who work with careers can help you say, look at all these things that you have. You're a researcher. You're a writer. You're a mediator. You're a this. You're a that. There are 15 directions that you could possibly apply these skills to. Let's sort them out. And then what you do is you start talking to people. You reach out to 20 people who are in the other field or who love you, who know you, and you say, I'm really thinking about a shift. Can I talk to you? It's a process. So, but the first thing is getting real with do you want to leave the legal field? And what could be holding you back from that? I get the sense you're very, very blocked. There's some fears. Maybe it's around money. I feel blocks there. And often, Lee, when we join a program like this, but we fall off, it's because something in our life comes up that we prioritize, but also it's because we're afraid. I can't tell you how many times I'll start with a new, it doesn't happen so much now. In the beginning, when I first started coaching, the very first session the person couldn't come to. I'm sick, my child's sick, I broke my leg, I ended up in the hospital, I have a terrible case of the flu, because we're afraid. So I hope that's helpful, Lee, and I really appreciate. So Lee finally says, yes, 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 that's me, legal doesn't light me up. Well, then it's not for you. And I seem to jump every 2 to 3 years. All right, so what we have to figure out is how bad is the pain in this current job? Do you want to stay until you figure this out? Or should you change jobs, stay there for 2 years? At least it's better. But while you're at a better job, you're sorting this out. All right? Oh, fantastic questions. And welcome back. And don't forget, I am here for you if you want private help. I would love to help you. February is a good month for me, so I hope to hear from you. Use your 20% discount, and thank you. Fantastic stuff. I so appreciate it. All right, my friends, have a great week, and I'll speak to you next week. I really appreciate you. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.